Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll jump right in at 2:09. Chad Hartman here.
Oh.
Can't let that go.
What was I thinking?
You almost forgot.
I mean, I almost forgot. Because we're getting, I mean, honestly, how was Rusty's news 9 minutes there? I mean, a lot of news. Chipper is here. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Two-parter here, Chipper. Second part is on your amazing story on the Red Lake Warriors. It was, if you weren't moved by that story, I don't know what else to say because it was just brilliance on your part. Let's start with the soon-to-be Super Bowl champions. Can we room together in Scottsdale? Because they are 10-2. Your paper had the graphic today. Ninth time this organization has started with a 10-2 or better record in a 60-plus year history. That's a lot. It's just a reminder. Yeah. Bud Grant, pretty damn good.
Oh, you there?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
You lost me.
Yeah, there we go. We got you back. You wrote about Kirk and the physicality of the game, his toughness, and how it all played out. Because, again, if you look at Cousins' numbers, they aren't as good as last year. They just aren't. And, again, we all can be creatures as much as we try to separate from records. We all can be creatures at some point. There's just too many times in these key comebacks, Chip, in these close games, where he is making key throws in the fourth quarter where other years in close games, I don't believe that happened.
No, and two things here. I think I'm going to write this column later this week that don't tell me about stats. I don't want to hear about stats. This is the best he's played since he's been here.
I agree.
The stats, some of those I think in previous years, not all of it, but some of them were empty, right, playing catch-up. You cannot tell me this is not the best he's played for the season. Now, saying that, I thought yesterday was his maybe the worst I've seen him throwing the ball in terms of accuracy. He was just off.
At the start, for sure.
It was weird.
Yep.
And he even talked about it. He seemed a little baffled by it. He said he got so sped up. He said he was throwing it, you know, he got too fast in his drop back, and just his timing was off. And I think it had to do with the Jets' defense and how physical they were. Chad, they came to hit.
Oh,
that was.
Yep. No doubt.
The two that Jefferson took, that he took. And so I think it disrupted his timing. So his accuracy was off. But in saying that, when he needed a drive, when he got to 20-15, he was like a surgeon. He was 5 of 5 for 62 yards. And I can't believe that the touchdown pass to Jefferson, he told us that was his fourth read in the progression.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. How is he?
To get to four. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I would say it's not easy to get to four. Can I also say to Kevin, how is Jefferson ever the fourth read?
I don't know. Yeah, he should always be one, and everybody else figure out where you're at. But
right.
But yeah, he was. So he was. You know, he was. He said he was the fourth guy to get to that and make that throw. Was a really difficult throw, and so even on days where he's clearly off, and he would, you know, was the first to admit it, and O'Connell said, yeah, some days are just like that. He still found enough toughness to, you know, rise to the occasion there. And I was talking to a couple employees about this, Chad. I don't think we give enough credit for how tough he is physically, because he takes some big shots. and he doesn't miss plays. He doesn't miss games.
He hasn't. I mean, when is the last time he missed?
Knock on wood.
Yeah. He's never missed a game here. He didn't miss a game going back well into his Washington career. It's pretty stunning. And let's just shoe on the other foot here. I thought the Jets were going to win before the game. I think the Jets are a pretty darn good team. I'm further convinced of it now. I know Mike White threw for almost 370 yards, but he also had 26 incompletions, just a number of inexplicable throws and decisions. Five of the six times they get to the red zone, they're kicking field goals. If they have Cousins, they're a Super Bowl contender. They have a lot of talent on the Jets.
Those two cornerbacks are really good. I mean, they're physical. That defense is great. I mean, I think they were fourth in points allowed coming in.
Yep.
Garrett Wilson obviously is a big time down at receiver. He's terrific.
Yes.
It's. I mean, they're good. They're better than I thought. And I think the Vikings knew it was going to be hard offensively, but they scored 27 points. As bad as they've looked at times,
right?
They scored 27 points. And here's the thing with the defense, Chad. How often in NFL history has the team with the worst-ranked pass defense won 10 games?
How about 10 out of the first 12?
That's it. They're 10-2 with the worst-ranked pass. It doesn't make sense.
It has to be never, Chip. Don't you think the answer is never? And again, you have Danielle Hunter. I think we all agree he's not who he once was, but he's still above average at minimum, okay? Za'Darius Smith is good. He was great at times. I keep hearing how hurt he is, though.
He's hurt. He's banged up. He's definitely banged up.
Okay, yeah. So at some point, now you're 10-2. Sit him out. If the point of this season is you now have done way more than any of us expected at this point, get him healthy is also some of it. That maybe teams have figured him out a little bit too. Can't that also be a part of the conversation?
I agree with that. Here's my question: are they going to be able to take their foot off the gas if they're trying to get home field?
Yep. No. The answer is no, because again, I thought they'd lose. I was going to put this also in the tweet, but I thought it would be a hypocrite. I was going to say they're either going to lose or they're going to win 14 games. So now I think they're going to win 14 games because they might not win next week. Next week I think is their toughest game. Giants are fading. Indy, give me a break.
Yeah,
I don't know if the ghost of Bart Starr is going to be the quarterback by the time they go to Green Bay and the Bears.
The Bears, yeah.
The Bears are the Bears. Yeah. So, and if they get to 14, they might be looking at the number one seed.
And that's the thing. It's like as loud as that place gets and as – helpful as it is to this team and the way they play at home, you absolutely want to keep your foot on the gas. Now, you know, can you still win if you give Za'Darius Smith a week off? I think you probably can, you know, because, you know, he's not the entire linchpin to the defense. And so I'm just curious to see how O'Connell's going to handle this. We've seen him adjust his schedule here of late with practices and giving guys days off and not putting the pads on. So I think he has a pretty good plan in mind for how he's going to handle it. But it is remarkable that you could have a pass defense rank like that and see their cornerback situation where they're really thin right now with guys down the depth chart. And they're still winning. They're still winning. They're still getting turnovers and they're finding key plays in the red zone to kind of offset all the yards they're giving up.
And if they're healthy, the cornerbacks outside of Peterson, they're not that good. So let's stay with the rest of the NFC. Philly manhandled them. Dallas destroyed them. I thought San Francisco was really looking good, but now Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I know Jimmy's not Montana, but Jimmy is a credible quarterback. We're talking the Monday after the Super Bowl, and Brock Purdy's MVP, and I'm going to regret this, but they just came down a significant notch to me. The 49ers. Go ahead.
I was telling people yesterday I thought they were going to be the team that comes out of the NFC. I just think offensively, defensively, and physical. And then now I don't know. I
mean, no way.
I just don't. Boy, that's a lot to ask of a rookie quarterback, right? I mean, I don't know. So it definitely you talk about this season where things are breaking in your favor and kind of living right. This is another example of it. I mean, you know, you look at a San Francisco team that looked very formidable, and then all of a sudden they lose their top two quarterbacks. And so this is, you know, it's another thing that you start looking at how the Vikings are winning and how things are stacking up. You're like, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe
yeah.
This is that year.
And just add, not just a rookie quarterback, the last pick in the draft.
Okay. Yeah, the Mr.
Right.
Irrelevant.
It wasn't like he was the second run pick. Last pick in the draft.
Right.
All right.
I want to talk
about your story after this short break.
Yeah.
Fielding hope in every game. We had talked off air about the work you were doing on this. I read it. It's brilliant work by you. Bravo to you. You're getting all the praise you should. This was great. It was emotional, and it shows how a family and a community can rally. We're going to continue the conversation with Chip, and we'll talk about a story about the Red Lake Warriors when we come back on CCO. Among our topics, next segment, TV anchors having an affair, and they're taking off the TV. Why? And are you really going to participate in naming the snowplow again? Honestly. Come on. Stop it. Knock it off. All right. So this was great work by you. And also the photos by Aaron Levinsky. Okay. How did you find out about the Red Lake Warriors? This is not, for anybody listening, just a football story. This is a story about a family who loses their son and how they rally together, how they rally separately, how they have so few kids to play, but they come together, a coach who does every single thing, all while grieving the son they lost, who would be senior this year. You did it brilliantly. How did you find out about it?
Yeah, so it was about this time last year. I was, you know, doing my weekly football across Minnesota column, and Joe Ripple, who works in the Star Tribune and was very close to your dad.
Oh, yeah.
Helped your dad for many, many years.
He's decades.
Kind of become kind of became a sports historian of sorts for us. And so he emailed me and said, hey, I may have a fam item for you. He said, I've just been doing some research, and Red Lake hasn't won a game in, he said, I think 20 years. And so I said, whoa, okay. So I emailed and texted Nolan Desjardins, who's the athletic director and head coach, and it took us a while to finally connect. But he got back to me last spring and just said, you know, what's the story about? And I said, you know, let me drive up there and take you to lunch, because I don't know what the story is.
Yep.
So went up there and we had lunch at a diner there in Bemidji and talked about, you know, his program, how football is, a real struggle numbers wise there on the reservation, and while we were eating, he was wearing a necklace that had a pendant on it of a picture of a kid. And I was like, I just asked him who that was. He said, that's my son, Nolan Jr., who died when he was 10 in an accident. And he said he'd be a senior this year, and he would be, you know, my quarterback, my point guard, the starting shortstop. He was the best athlete as a kid on the reservation. And I said, would you be willing to talk about that if we do the story? And he said, yes. I said, well, you know, this was a Friday. And I said, go home this weekend, think about it, because I'm asking a lot of you. I'm asking, you know, we're going to be up here a lot. I want to be in the locker room on the team bus. You know, I want to talk about Nolan Jr. if you want to do this and the impact. And we talked on Monday. He said, yeah, I definitely want to do it. And so that started it. And I think I made 8 or 9 trips up to Red Lake, starting late spring. And through the last one was, you know, senior day there in, was it late October, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And just a remarkable, probably the most enriching thing I've done in my career in terms of story-wise and really trying to understand something that's different for me. I mean, I was an outsider coming on the reservation and
sure.
Could not have been treated any better than what I was. The people are great. Nolan is just a magnificent individual, and his wife, Nicole, and all the players are kind of characters, and we got to know them real well. So it was just a fun story. The reaction's been overwhelming. I got to be honest with you, Chad. I don't think I've ever written anything that's generated this kind of response and emotion from readers.
Well, rightfully so. You know, and I talked to a ton of people this weekend too who had read it, and they all were drawn to it. Just tell everybody how the family lost Nolan Jr. and how, even with the kids, even outside the family, that Nolan Jr. is still so prominent in everybody's life.
Yeah, so Nolan was 10, and he was the best athlete at that age. I mean, all the kids looked up to him whenever he walked in a gym, kids followed him. He put together like a little travel AAU team that traveled northern Minnesota, and they won a lot of games. Just a really talented basketball player. He would shoot at halftime at varsity games, home and road, and, you know, high school students would cheer for him, cheer MVP. And it was on the day of their daughters, who they had a 2-year-old daughter at the time, it was her birthday, and Nolan asked if he could take a bag of trash down to the dumpster down the road on an ATV, and sadly lost control of it, and it crashed, and he died in the accident. And so it really rocked that family, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Any family that loses a child. And so, but these kids that were his best friends that were on that basketball team, his dad, Nolan Sr., coached them. They're seniors now. This is their senior year. And so when he's coaching these kids, he's looking at these seniors, he's looking at his kids, you know, his son's best friends. And he had just decided that when it happened, he admits he went into a dark place and didn't know if he wanted to keep coaching or what he wanted to do. And then there was if people read the story, there was a morning where something happened there, and it kind of felt a sign from his son, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to live for the day. I'm going to live for the present. I'm going to pour myself into these kids. And so it's a remarkable story that, you know, he's given everything he has to these kids who he's known since they were little boys, and they were his son's best friends, and he just does everything for that community.
Chip, how did they react once they saw the story, the family itself?
That's, you know, you always wonder, I have that anxiety, whether it's the Austin story or Jake Sullivan, you know, the night before, you're like, I hope there's no buyer's remorse. I hope they feel good about sharing these private, painful stuff with me. And I didn't sleep the night before it came out, but then Nolan, it's funny, while we were on hold here, I was texting with him again, but he had texted me and said he was in tears reading it and just been overwhelmed by it. And he just texted me like literally a minute ago when I was on air with you saying I've read it more than once. And he's thrilled that people feel good about his story. And I think initially there was some hesitation, whether it's him or the players, like, you're not going to make fun of us, right? Because we haven't won a game. And I was like, no, that's not the intent at all. None of it. So it's just been really just a rewarding thing. As you can probably hear the emotion in my voice. It's like, you get so close to him. It's just, you feel good that people are finding out about Nolan Desjarlais.
Great work, my friend. It was extraordinarily well done. The photography adds to it. It's not just the writing, it's the reporting, and it just stood out to so many of us and to those who know you well and know you're skilled. We weren't surprised, but we all were illuminated by what we had a chance to read. Great stuff.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, brother.
At Chip Scoggins, not only talented, one of the best in the business regarding as a human being. Everybody who knows Chip likes Chip. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to two topics. Why would any of you care about the name of a snowplow? And who cares who's sleeping with who on TV? Those stories will take us to the top. Following us, some guy who left TV. I forget his name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly! parts.